welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am grateful you chose to be with me on this July 5th day, 2020. What a weekend, eh? Take a look at all of the things that are going on. It's a real realization, and that's what we're going to talk about. Realization and the difference between that and being woke, as it is called now. And I did a whole commentary on this woke thing, so we'll take a look at it, because woke has to do with the idea of waking up to kind of social justice. Realization, well, that's something becoming aware of the facts or the awareness of something that is desired, anticipated. It is something that comes to mind. In fact, both of them are woke and realization. And I don't know if you can have a woke moment, as they like to call it, without the realization of being woke. So we're going to look at some questions about this that I've gotten. I'm loving the questions that are coming to me, and I want to thank those of you who are generous enough to offer it to me. If you ever have a question or a subject that you would like talked about, all you have to do is email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. So let's probably get right into it. The first one comes from Steve in St. Louis, Missouri. And he asks, how does realization work? How does woke work? I'm not sure if I'm either, but I want to be. Steve. Oh, Steve, it is easy to put pieces of opinion together and come up with what we would call a woke or a moment or a realization. If you realize there's a problem first or an issue, then you have the first and the beginningness of something called the start of awareness. Awareness to me and realization are two different things. I might realize that I have a problem, and it may take a long, long time, but to have a real awakening to it is to see the bigger picture of how that realization works in my life and in the lives of other people, how it all comes together. Woke is the idea of labeling that realization as to whether or not it's going to be something that is socially important. And all of these things are essential when you think in terms of how we deal with our life and what is essential to our living and where our focus needs to be. We have to get beyond concept of thought, though. And that's the difficulty, Steve, that most people have their own electoral college inside of them where they have voted for this being right and that being wrong, which is the whole realization that there needs to be a change. And the woke part of it is when I'm looking at it from the point of view that socially and in our psychology, that there needs to be a certain awareness that needs to come up. But most people don't go to awareness. They think of awareness as what their minds can dictate to them, what their minds tell them is right and wrong, good and bad, and how things work in their mind. It's kind of abstract to most people. But let's go a little deeper into your question. How does realization work? And wanting to be woke. Put away everything, all the idea of realization, all the idea of woke. Just put all of that away for a moment. Just let it go. And what is it that you're really seeking to awaken to? In every given situation, you will see things that look like this is fair, this is unfair, this is prejudicial, this is not. In the effort of truly going beyond realization and woke, as it were, colloquialism. I have a real hard time with that one. But that's the best human beings can do. To have a real awareness of it all is not just to see the injustice, but to awaken to why that exists. Why this injustice exists in the first place. Now, you're asking a lot of people when you ask them, well, this is why I think the way I do. This is the way I believe the way I do. Why is it I do this? It all has to do with our genetics and the state of our DNA. And if you don't get involved in understanding genetics, DNA, and how the brain as an organ operates, you won't know why all of this tension has occurred. You also will realize the difficulty that people have in rationalizing their evil. They make up stories, they lie, they do Karen things. You see it all the time in the news. Why is this? Because people are afraid. In their DNA, they're deeply, deeply afraid. But what are they afraid of? They don't know. The fear, this is where awareness comes in. When I understand where my fears come from and how foolish they are, how they turn to hate without and prejudice, without me ever even knowing it and how it works in my brain, even the chemical imbalances of it, oxytocin and all the other things that come into play, then I just react and act. And I make all sorts of ugly statements that aren't true about people. I have prejudice about people I don't even know. This skin color problem we've had for eons since the beginning of humankind is ridiculous, but you're not going to get people off it. And it always amazes me, and shouldn't, but it does, in all the years I've lived, after all the fuss and falderal of what people think, say, and do about color, it still goes on. Why? Because it's primordial. It is DNA at its worst. So if you really want, Steve, to deal with this, I mean, really, you want to go beyond woke and realization, you and I have to transcend. We have to transcend the mind that lives in the biology of the body. And we have to look at it from the point of view that you and I came into this body, incarnated into this body, for the reason of transcending it. And if you are willing to transcend it, to move beyond the confines of a body that is only looking to survive and is in constant fear of its own survival, it is there and then that you have made some tremendous progress in your life. And you can do this. It takes practice. It takes effort. You have to see the bigger picture. And that's where the realization is. If I do not transcend my body, if I do not transcend this lifetime in this world through meditation, through spiritual practice, if I do not come to realize the bigger picture of this lifetime, an answer to the call of the heart rather than from the body, which all transgressions go to and come from, then I am stuck. And this is why people do the same ugly acts of cruelty over and over and over again. There's always going to be the them and the us as long as we live in the body, because the oxytocin in our body, in our brain, excretes a chemical that makes us, well, either like people or dislike them. There's no logic, there's no reasoning to it. It just happens. And as long as we continue to fuss and fume about this, and get all upset over really nothing. People are people. They need one thing and one thing alone. And I'm going to tell you what it is, Steve. It's no great mystery. This is no great revelation. This is no great teaching. It just is what it is. We are here to love one another. To love, just simply to be love. But I can't love you if I'm subject to my body, no matter how much I want to love you, no matter how much I want to be more liberal or even beyond liberal, how far I want to go in seeing the truth of my small-mindedness, it won't work. Nothing will work. Nothing. I have to see the bigger picture. I have to see the way, the truth, and the light in me. And if I don't do that, if I am unwilling to do that, if the only thing I have is logic and reasoning, mental pictures, beliefs, my pedestrian mentality that makes my life very, very, very convenient, yet very conventional, nothing is going to change. So, yes, it requires a complete rebooting of the mind. The mind being rebooted in the way of putting meditation and love first. You can't do it with morals or beliefs or anything like that. That strictly will not work. You have to go beyond all of that. You have to have a spiritual insight to see who's embodying these bodies, who am I embodying this body, and start to speak to the love that lives within me, surrender to it rather than my prejudice, my fears, my angers. Now, how many people are going to do that? Not many. Not many at all. So, there you are. I've answered your question. Probably not to your liking, but thank you, Steve, for kicking this all off and for being so kind as to ask the question. And I hope you will forgive me. Namaste. Okay, the next question. This comes from, let me look here, Timothy. I realized how unkind I have been in my life. I really realize it. Now, what do I do? I feel nothing but shame and guilt. Timothy. He does not tell me where he lives. Well, one thing for sure, Timothy, in understanding all of this and coming to this realization, becoming aware of the facts of how you have been, to have shame and guilt is not going to help anything. In fact, it's going to exasperate the whole thing. And it won't be a beautiful thing for you. It just won't. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to transcend it. Okay? You must see the unkindness not as a shameful thing, but as a point of ignorance. Okay, lethargic ignorance, where you and I, we've all done this, I've done it, everybody, we've all seen how cruel and unkind we have been, and we have to look at it from the point of view of forgiving. This word forgiving doesn't work well in our society, no matter what. There are a lot of people out there who will apologize, and there are even more people out there who won't accept that apology based on the idea that they don't trust that the person is truly asking for forgiveness or is really sorry. They just want to go on and on and on with the craziness. So here's the deal. You have to look at it from the point of view that if a person can't be forgiving, then that is their problem. I hear people in the press and people who have made terrible mistakes verbally who have revealed their DNA and their genetic stature and nature. They call them Karens, I understand. And those who just blatantly realize they've been wrong, you know, like Drew Brees, you look at it and you hear them apologize. Well, I accept apology like that. I accept them all. Will they do it again? Well, you've got to have understanding in you. You have to have a certain measure of understanding. Maybe, maybe not. But it was not their intent to be as ugly as they were. But when they realized what that in misguided insight, that misguided word, that misguided phrase, that misguided statement that they made, whatever those things are, and they realize, oh my God, my true intent didn't come out. I meant this way. I said that way. Please forgive me. People are unforgiving. This society is ugly. It does not forgive. So when we do not forgive, we invite more issues to come about, more instances of problems. And the embodiment of our entire society becomes that of being contrary to each other. So you're going to have to forgive yourself, Timothy. You're going to have to. You're going to have to let this all go and start anew, being what Jesus called born again. This time, not of theory and logic and reasoning or woke stuff or all of that, but really get down into it and ask yourself, what is it about me that made all of this possible? What is it that lives deep inside me that made all of this possible? It is very, very important to understand that. Now, once that is understood, that is when something of a higher nature begins to occur within us. Something of a deeper love. And when you see that you can't live in the abstract futility of the human mind and the human brain, the human body, when you really realize you can't do that, that that is not the way, the truth, and the light, that is when something of insight begins to happen. A true realization happens. The first realization is that what I have done or said is not appropriate to love. The second one is, where did this come from within me? How did I arrive at this? What is it that my logic and my reasoning are supporting? But the ultimate one is the awakening. The awakening to the one great teacher of this earthly plane. It is called futility. We live in futileness. Most people are living in futility. Living out of the human, from the human, back to the human, to try to cure what the human has created is futility. If I live in this futility without a sense of awareness, which I can't when I'm living in futility, then I'm going to do it again and again and again. And that's why people do not trust apologies, because it's a cycle and we can all see it. You start here saying some crazy thing, then hearing yourself say that crazy thing and apologizing, being embarrassed by it, trying to cover up your cat crap from what you just felt inside yourself. And anyone who is shame-based, and we saw this with Drew Brees, anyone who's shame-based is going to have these issues. Drew Brees is truly sorry. He didn't know. Did it change his position? I think it changed the way he's going to talk about himself and his position, but it didn't really change his position. Does that mean he was insincere in his apology? No. Means he's sorry, and I accept it. But I understood what he was saying and all of that when he said what he said. So you start to look at all these things, and we know not what we do. We don't. If you really want to know what it's all about, Timothy, look at your intent. If your intent was to live your life in accordance with your human nature and to take a stand that is primordial, then there you are. If your intent was to bring peace to a situation, but you were clumsy and awkward about it, that's another. Look at the intent. Then start to look at the depth of it all, the awareness of it all. Where did this intent go wrong? Or what is the intent? And if it is to say unkind things, then here we go again, around and around in our biology, never transcending anything. The object of our life is to transcend our own humanity and not praise it and not condemn it. It is an animal, and for the most part, it knows not what it does. You've got to see that. Most people can't. There you are. Thank you, Timothy. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question is from a lady named Sally. Sally is a very special name to me. I had a student that I loved very much, still love. She has moved out of her body, but when I saw this on my email, I went, oh, Sally, and I miss her. Anyway, Sally asked this question, does not tell me where she lives. How do I realize God? You seem to have been able to do it, Sally. Sally, I would never say I've realized God. I would never say that. But I'm grateful and I am respectful that you see where I come from. So I was very touched by your question. I don't see God as a man, a person, a higher power, and all that other crazy stuff that people like to attribute to God. For me, God simply is. And you don't realize God. You have to come to God. You have to come to that moment where you're done living off of the ugly impressions of humanistic thinking. It is a place you come to when you are no longer interested in futility. It is a place you come to where instincts don't matter anymore, where you are just living, not pitting one thought against another, one ideal against another, one belief against another. In other words, it came to me when I stopped being contrary. Contrary to love, contrary to kindness, contrary to silence, contrary to philosophy. I just stopped. There was no more need for it. I was not trying to prove myself right. I was not trying to prove others wrong. I just came to the point where I was no longer contrary. And when you can come to that place, my darling Sally, that is when you will awaken and realize everything that is important and pertinent to this lifetime lives within you, and you won't waste one single moment. And all of a sudden, people will say, like you just did, hey, you know God. It's much bigger than that. I'm out of here. Thank you, Sally, for your wonderful question, and I deeply appreciate it. I'm out of here. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.